You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Tell me about what you felt like when you first started doing the documentary.
I started off not really knowing who I was, because, I mean, I was a kid, and I'm 12 now. Here we go!
It started early, 6, 7 years old, and she would tell us, I'm a little girl.
I just always knew, I just didn't know the word for it.
Children before puberty do not have medical interventions. It is a social transition.
We lost most of our friends and some of our family.
My family really doesn't talk to me. My mother thinks I'm a child abuser.
This is April 27, 2022. That is part of an HBO documentary that will be coming out in November called Transhood. It involves 4 Kansas City families, including 2 children, a 12-year-old Jay identifying as a boy, a girl, and a 15-year-old Lena, the opposite, both on hormone pharmaceuticals with the permission of their parents. The other two, a 7-year-old Avery, a boy who identifies as a girl, and a 4-year-old girl who identifies as a boy. They're dressed in the appropriate clothing they want, but they're not getting any hormone treatments at this time. We're going to spend more time in the next hour on this very subject and this documentary. Yes, it's frightening. It's becoming mainstream, and the documentary should shed, I think, additional light on some of the issues that exist. And if you want even more evidence, the Discovery Channel is now trying to come out or getting ready to launch a show, Discovery Plus, as they call it, CNN Plus, remember their story? Going to be produced by the model and TV mogul Tyra Banks, following 5 teenagers and their journey into the world of becoming drag queens. And then out of New York comes the story of a man who identifies as a woman, was put in with women in the women's section of Rikers Island. He's now charged with raping one of the women. I'm sorry to start your day out like that on this program, but there are certain things you're going to have to face now or later. I'd rather see you get a hold on it now so you know what is being pushed to your children and how to deal with it. Also coming up, Dr. Fake says, stand by, he says, it's over, the pandemic's over. But he also had some cautions, which might mean more shots, more boosters. Don't know how many. And in the meantime, in Shanghai, folks are still locked up in China, 6 million in that one city. They're looking at maybe a lockdown in Beijing, the capital city. New concerns about a new strain of COVID. Or is it just the dictator deciding, one man deciding, I have put this stuff in place and the 1.4 billion will follow my lead because I'm the guy. Wonder if he and Dr. Fake sometimes exchange numbers and information. Also coming up today, more of the weeping and gnashing of teeth from the liberals about the loss of Twitter being controlled by Elon Musk. And not yet, but it's going to be. But Senator Ted Cruz is already saying, I think Musk buying Twitter is without exaggeration the most important development for free speech in decades. You agree? Then the timing issue. If you thought that the big tech companies had a hand in the last election, and we know they did, they withheld information about the Hunter laptop which the New York Post put out just before the election. Big tech censored that. Twitter shut them down. Facebook, YouTube, mainstream, quote, media at that time wouldn't carry the story. The timing of Musk getting his actual hands on Twitter and actually being able to do something with Twitter might come after the November 2020 election. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. We are live right now, live streaming at rumble.com. Rumble.com. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase. Namely, we don't have 900,000 new infections a day and tens and tens and tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths. We are at a low level right now. So if you're saying, are we out of the pandemic phase in this country? We are.
Whoa, celebrate. Break out the champagne. We're out of the pandemic, according to Dr. Fake in an interview he did with PBS. Saying we are out of the pandemic stage. But don't rush to celebrate. Don't pop the champagne just yet. Don't blow up the balloons because he has some additional words he wants to share. Because remember, it was not too long ago. Again, the flip-flop of this man is amazing. Not too long ago, he said, I don't think we'll ever reach herd immunity. Herd immunity being basically that so many people have COVID or have had it or have been vaccinated or boosted and are both, that we will reach a point where we no longer would have to worry about it. But he said, I'm not sure we'll ever reach herd immunity. Well, that flies in the face of what you're going to hear from him right now.
I think it's important for people to realize that because although immunity following infection and recovery does not last indefinitely, it does give a degree of variable degrees of protection against severe disease if you get reinfected. So if you add up the people who've been infected plus the people who've been vaccinated and hopefully boosted, you have a rather substantial proportion of the United States population that has some degree of immunity that's residual, either residual from prior infection, or hopefully people who are getting vaccinated and boosted. We know we have 66% of the total population has been vaccinated, and about half of them have been boosted.
Are you confused? We're out of it. You're not going to have herd immunity. But now we look at this. Things are going great. I mean, look at VP Harris. Yesterday, confirmed by the White House, she's had two vaccinations. One of the first of the nation to get a vaccination, even before she took office with Joe Biden, who also got a vaccination. She's had a booster shot, maybe two for all I know, and she still comes down with COVID. She is no longer working in the White House. Well, don't misinterpret that. She's just not working at the White House. Don't misinterpret that either. How should I phrase this? She went home. She decided to go home so she wouldn't take a chance of making the president sick. So she's staying away for a few days. I don't think they're going to miss her, but so be it. But while Dr. Fake is going forward with all this information and pointing out that, namely, we don't have 900 new infections a day and tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths, we are at a low rate, a low level right now. He all says that all of that sounds good, but at the same time he is saying that, there's concern about what's happening in China. Again, China launched a series of mass coronavirus testing in Beijing this week. That's sparking a lot of panic among the residents who fear that there will be a brutal Shanghai-type lockdown for the capital city of China, Beijing. And Chinese state media apparently is moving forward to prepare the public that, yeah, that could happen to you. The Shanghai lockdown is now into its fourth week, and there's no end in sight. The Beijing district, the prime district, announcing its 3.5 million residents are this week to undergo nucleic acid testing, after supposedly detecting 26 infections over the weekend. 26 infections, and they're going to have 3.5 million be tested again and maybe be given shots. Now, of course, you have to always worry about the number of deaths and infections in China because they lie. They're lying about their economy. We'll get to that a little bit later. But when you deal with China, you never know for sure what kind of information you're getting. And when China starts telling you that we're going to do this and we have control of things, and, of course, we were never responsible for it in the beginning, and that it was not us, it was not the Wuhan lab, and we all know it is now, but at the time they were lying and the World Health Organization bought the lie, and unfortunately we as the U.S. did because we relied on the World Health Organization to do its J-O-B and give us facts and details, and all they were doing is parroting what China told them. And when World Health inspectors went to do, quote, an inspection of the Wuhan lab, they were telling everyone everything's okay, everything's good. Well, we find out later they never set foot in the damn lab. They got their information direct from the Chinese, and they just simply parroted that information. Gordon G. Chang, we often have on this program, a Chinese expert. I've told you a lot of guys I have on this program, they're extensively internationally known and face a lot of requests for different programs. And he appeared on Maria Bartiromo at Fox News, and they were talking about China and its statement now about where it stands with COVID and the measures they're going to take that they say will be sufficient and are. Do you believe anything they had to say? Let's begin with Maria's question to Gordon G. Chang.
So what do you think about these lockdowns in Shanghai? I mean, they're putting gates up on people's homes. How do you read it?
Yeah, this is illogical. The only way you can explain it is that it benefits only one person, which is Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, because he wants his precedent-breaking third term. He's considered the author of the zero COVID policy, so he cannot allow any criticism of it, no adjustment of it, even though the policy no longer makes sense.
Who does that sound like? When Gordon G. Chang talks about the leader of China, the one man issuing a dictate that affects 1.4 billion, it sounds very much like Dr. Fake using President Biden and his minions to carry out what he thinks should be done, and the CDC doing the same thing. Whether or not it's based on science, it's good political science. Many of us have feared for a long time the whole thing has been an effort to exercise control. It's pretty hard to argue against that when you see that the CDC even admits, yeah, some of the rules we put in place, we just kind of made them up. There are still places, I'm sure you've been in some of them, they still have markings on the floor, please stand here, the 6 foot distance from anyone in front of you in the line. And you'll still see folks wearing masks. When first Dr. Fake said, they're not going to do you any good. And secondly, yeah, you should get one. And then, no, you don't need it. You get a vaccination, you won't need it. And now you got a vaccination, you might need two masks. And you might need another vaccination. You might need a booster. I mean, every step of the way. And then the last vestige of their control as it exists today was the federal judge ruling that the TSA through the CDC overstepped its bounds by declaring you had to wear a mask while on a plane. When the executives of two major airlines, Southwest, I believe American was the other, testifying before Congress saying, you are safer in a cabin of one of our planes than anywhere else because we're recirculating the air rapidly, numerous times per minute, so you're less likely to come down with anything. But those in charge, to hold on to their control, wanted to insist again that, no, we want you to be masked for at least another 2 weeks. And then, of course, you have the whole issue about Title 42 to be dropped at the border. There are efforts to prevent that from happening. Title 42, I'll remind you again, put in place by the CDC, used by Trump and Biden briefly, to some extent, to make sure that any illegals coming across the border, if they had COVID, they could be turned away. Trump, the Border Patrol under Trump, was using it, and they were checking people. Under Biden, they're not even bothered to check. They're not giving them vaccinations. If they are, they did for a while, and then they didn't. So they have been doing nothing, and now helping then transport them all over the nation. Of course, Governor Abbott of Texas said, well, if you're that going to do that, then we'll do the same. We'll take all those coming across the border here, and we will transport them into some of your country or rather into your other states, like put them right into D.C. There's a report that just came out. I'm going to try to get more time on it later for you. The Federation for American Immigration Reform, FAIR, releasing an analysis using U.S. Census Bureau data showing the illegal alien population ballooning since Joe Biden took office by 1 million. And I think that's undercounting. But it means overall the cost to the taxpayer, the national overall total at taxpayer cost, $143 billion a year being spent to allow illegals to come across our border. And as I said, I think there's been undercounting, which brings us back to COVID. And Dr. Fake, well, he says we're out of the pandemic. When you see Kamala Harris come down with COVID the other day, after two vaccinations, at least one booster, he's thinking, you know, there are probably a lot of people that are walking around right now that have COVID. They don't know it. They haven't been tested. So he said, I think we're probably still undercounting COVID.
I am virtually certain that we are undercounting the number of infections just for the same reason. There are many people who I know myself, friends and others, who get infected, who do an antigen test, don't get many symptoms, but don't report it to anyone. So the fact is there are infections that are not getting centrally reported. So I do believe that there's an undercount. We should do better than that. We should probably be able to track them much better. But the good news is the one that you mentioned, and you're absolutely correct. The relationship or ratio between hospitalizations and infections is such that we're not seeing a comparable increase proportionately of hospitalizations. Unlike what was happening with Delta, when as the cases went way up, the hospitalizations also went way up.
So there may well be undercounting because folks, they get a little cough, a little sneeze, and if they went and got tested, it would probably indicate COVID. They feel a little fatigued, tired, low temperature, but they're not really that sick. It's basically the flu. But if they can find a reason, if they're going to remain in power, if you're going to allow them to remain in power in 2022 to control the House and the Senate, and certainly into 2024 also continue to control the White House, they may well decide to reimpose a lot of this stuff just because they can. Not because it's needed, but they can. There's a six-minute video called Voices of April that appeared on Chinese social media the other day, seeing desperation and outrage from Shanghai. Several clips were edited or tried to be edited by the Chinese government. They couldn't stop all of them from getting out, but you were seeing so many Chinese shouting for help. They were locked in our homes, were dying, no food, no water. The Chinese government trying to shut down all social media. Speaking of social media, the weeping and nailing continues because Elon Musk will own Twitter. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This isn't about just clearing out the CEO or the chief marketing person. You literally have to remove every moderation director, every coder, every engineer. Maria, you've probably seen the headlines yesterday in Bloomberg saying that they've already had to put guards in place. Mm. When I say figurative guards in place to prevent coders and engineers from messing with the platform, literally, we've seen the freakouts that are happening from Twitter, and there's a reason they're going to push back and resist every bit of change he tries to bring.
That is Jason Miller, CEO of Getter, another social media company, talking about how much pushback the Twitter employees still on board are going to be fighting Elon Musk as he moves forward. And the timing is going to be critical. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour because timing is going to be very critical on what Musk can do, when he can do it, and how it may or may not affect the 2020 election. In the meantime, we're seeing reports coming in, according to Breitbart, that left-wing Twitter accounts losing followers. A lot of folks that were on Twitter that had that blue check, those left-wingers that used their tweet to ban and disgust you and curse you out, and yet they were allowed to practice their hate speech against you. But if you put anything similar at all, or even a response, or even retweeted someone else making a remark, you could be banned, and many were. But right now, leftists who deem language they disagree with is hate speech. They've been doing that for a long time, obviously, and disinformation. And apparently a lot of them are leaving Twitter. They figure, well, who's Joe Musk? He bought a bag of nothing. We won't be here. Really. I doubt that's going to happen. Trump has said he's not going to get on Twitter at this time. He still has his Trump Social or Truth Social that they're working on. I tried to get on a couple times. There have been some problems with it. I don't know when it's going to be fully up to speed. But all of these folks that are trying to destroy Elon Musk and now Twitter because they don't want free platform of speech. That's what this is amounting to. This is not an exercise of owning a corporation, making money. Musk has said, I could care less about the money. I simply believe it should be a free platform. That you're not going to be banned just because somebody doesn't like what you say. Now, if you're going to say something that would incite a riot or insurrection or something, well, then, yeah, there'll be reasons to reconsider. But as you were hearing Jason Miller say, there are a lot of folks that are, this is going to be the swamp of Twitter land, like the swamp in D.C. Musk has already said, the first thing I'm going to do is fire the entire board. And in the next hour, you're going to hear one of those board members talk about this trauma they are all facing and how they're going to try to get through it. Their jobs are going to be gone. But he's having to admit that as fiduciaries, as board members, we have to protect our shareholders and get to the best price possible. So we got to sell. We don't have any, there's nothing else on the horizon. It's going to be bigger and better. Musk is buying them at a 20% plus premium from the original effort price when he first made the initial proposal. So for the board to reject it would be stupid. But then again, they've done a lot of stupid things. The timing again. Can Musk get all this done before the 2020 election and get all the swamp creatures out of there? And then we come to those who have been banned from Twitter. What are your chances of getting back on, and how soon can that happen? My next guest got banned from Twitter because he dared say that a, quote, woman, a person posing as a woman in our government, was actually a man. Because he admitted what the biological fact was, he got banned. Stand by for that story.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I remind you, when we're on the air live, we are live streaming at rumble.com, rumble.com. We used to do it on YouTube, but they didn't like us, so they banned us. Although several of our pieces are still up at YouTube, Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. You can still see them, view them. A lot of folks still do. And then to get to us on live as we're on the air, simply go to rumble.com, enter one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up that section, go down and find the part where it says live, push it, and then zoom. Warp speed, you're here in the studio with us. My next guest we've had on numerous times before, a senior editor, contributor for the Federalist, John Daniel Davidson. I'll get it right yet. I apologize, John. But again, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, the thing we were raising the question on before you came on about Musk buying Twitter, one of your colleagues at the Federalist, Jordan Boyd, yesterday tweeted out, I wonder if my colleague's still going to get on Twitter because you'd been locked out because you dared. What did you do that was so offensive? What did you do?
I simply tweeted out a column that I had written about how Twitter was censoring the Babylon Bee and other high-profile accounts for pointing out that Rachel Levin, the Assistant Secretary of Health, is a man. Rachel Levin is a trans woman, so-called, but he is a man who dresses and presents himself as a woman. And for that, Twitter said that I was spreading hateful content, and they locked my account.
And obviously, you're not dealing with science, apparently.
No, apparently not. It's no. Well, as I said, truth is no defense. It doesn't matter if what you say is true. What matters is if it goes against the sort of woke liberal orthodoxy that Twitter sets its rules by. And that's what got me locked out. I won't get my account back until I delete the tweet, and I won't delete the tweet. I guess I'm waiting for Elon Musk to unlock my account at this point.
Yeah, and we're waiting. We were talking about timing earlier. Some of this might not be completed before November 2020 election, which is we're going to get into in more detail in the next hour. But since so many of us are convinced that big tech and our, at that time, mainstream media, as now I call them state-controlled media, were hiding the Hunter laptop story weeks before the November election, even refusing to acknowledge it exists, and then the New York Times in the recent couple months and the Washington Post and others have admitted, yeah, it's real and everything on there is real. But at that time, the word the folks were getting from big tech and the mainstream media were, there's nothing to see here, move on, and it might have changed that election.
Yeah, I think it might have, and I guess we'll never know at this point, but it's indisputable, I should say, that Twitter put its finger on the scales ahead of the 2020 election to suppress a story that was not favorable to Joe Biden, obviously. A true story. There was nothing disinformation about it. It wasn't hateful conduct. It wasn't hate speech. It wasn't harassment. It was a real news story that had big implications for an election coming up, maybe one of the biggest political stories of the year. And they locked the New York Post's account for it, and they locked out anyone who tried to retweet or share that story. Now, that's huge, and it should have sent up alarm bells to anyone who cares about free speech. But what we found out from that episode is that big tech and the corporate press and Democrats don't care about free speech, and they never really have. And there couldn't have been a better example of it than the Hunter Biden laptop story, which was totally true.
Absolutely.
And was completely validated, as you say, by the New York Times now and the Washington Post.
And now if Musk does not have full control of Twitter by November 2020, who knows what's going to be taking place in that. But against that, let me add this. Your fellow writer, Jordan Boyd, at the Federalist said basically while she was asking and wondering if you're going to get your tweet back, her attitude is that Musk should basically take Twitter, and she says the best thing he can do is annihilate it, and pointing out that only one in every five of U.S. adults use it anyway. In other words, it has no value anymore. What are your thoughts along that line?
I certainly understand the impulse. I think in the aggregate, Twitter is a malign force on American culture and public life. I think most social media is. It doesn't really connect people. It doesn't really draw people together. I think it deepens our divisions and it wastes time. And it detracts and degrades from real relationships that we might otherwise be building in the real world. Now, Twitter, though, in particular, has become a vehicle and a sort of clearinghouse for elite opinion. It is a tool that the elites used to monitor what sorts of messages and what sorts of information gets out there. So to the extent that that's all Twitter is and that's what it has become, then I do think it would be better off to, you know, shut it down than to keep it going in its current form.
Well, now, is she saying one in five adults are using it, others aren't, and some aren't because they have no interest whatsoever. Some have left. Some have been banned like you. But the left-wing Twitter account, they're dropping off now because Musk might be coming in. A Breitbart piece pointing out that President Barack Obama, the most popular account on their platform, lost 300,000 followers overnight. That's a report from NBC. I had the wrong source. So a lot of the left-wingers are just saying, oh, my God, we can't live here anymore. We got to go elsewhere.
It's because they don't really like free speech. They're not interested in a free marketplace of ideas. And that's been true for a long time. And now it's sort of coming out in this new way, expressing itself through this fight over Twitter. But, you know, remember, back in 2014, way back in the second Obama term, 42 Senate Democrats voted to amend the First Amendment, basically to undo Citizens United and restrict Americans' ability to speak about candidates or political issues, or advocate for issues or candidates. And that was really, that would have really gutted the First Amendment. And way back then, you already saw the left kind of, you know, unmasked for the enemies of free speech that they really are. That's what this is really all about. Are we going to have open public square and open debate or not?
Well, the other story that's tied into that is a Senate study underway by, let me make sure which senator is involved on heading this one up, but basically pointing out that in Rona McDaniel, I'm sorry, chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, and Senator Scott of Florida, talking about what happened with Google, that they were looking at findings in the Google algorithm. 68% of emails Republican candidates were sending out to try to raise money got flagged as spam. Only 8% of Democrats' requests for money that went out got flagged. So in other words, you know, 68% of those Republican candidates trying to draw in money, that their constituency never saw the request or even consider them. So they were,
that's right,
they were shut, they were throttling it before it could even get out the door.
I think that we're going to find out the longer that we have big tech as a player in the dissemination of information. Sort of these massive private companies that are really monopolies when it comes to the information space. The longer this goes on, the more it's going to come out how much they are putting their finger on the scales to influence public life, to control information, to advocate for the outcomes they want and suppress the speech and the ideas that they don't like. And I think it's time for Congress. You know, the only way that this stops is if we start regulating these companies, we start breaking them up, trust busting, essentially, and regulate the social media companies like common carriers. Until we recognize that these companies have far too much power and that they're far too concentrated, they are going to have a disproportionate and malign influence on public life in America.
In the last 30 seconds, your thoughts about Senator Ted Cruz saying Musk buying Twitter is probably the biggest step forward for freedom of speech, maybe forever.
We have to wait and see how it goes, but that is certainly the hope. If he is able to turn Twitter into something like a real public square where there's a real exchange of ideas, and it's not this sort of censored, you know, one-sided propaganda machine for left-wing elites, then yeah, it might well be the biggest step forward for free speech in a long, long time.
All right. Well, I tweeted out, although you don't have an account to see it, I tweeted out you're going to be on the program discussing this. When you get your Twitter account, please link up with me. We'll get you back on, and I look forward to seeing your first tweet. Can't wait to. I won't even ask you now what you want to say. Hey, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Always glad to have him. John Daniel Davidson with the Federalist Senior Contributor. Speaking of information that seems to be suppressed, back to that laptop and other emails regarding Biden and his son and business dealings, there's another email that got dropped. Uh-oh, stand by for this story. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And those numbers that are coming out of the National Bureau of Statistics in Beijing, they don't make sense. So, for instance, we know that in March, China was in contraction. We saw that from the purchasing managers' indices for both services and manufacturing. They both were in the red, and they plunged. Both of them plunged. And how can you end up with 4.8% growth for the quarter? Remember, the first quarter of 2021, there was 18.1% growth. It's a very high base, and still they come up with numbers that don't make sense.
That's Gordon G. Chain appearing earlier with Maria Bartiromo talking about the Chinese economy, how they're just bragging, oh, we're doing better and bigger and better and bigger all the time. It's a lie. Their economy is going this south. They know it. They know it in the fields. They know it at the leadership position, but you put out the press release, your leader says, one man, 4.1 billion people, and he says, no, we're doing well here. And you know who's taking the lead from him? The state-controlled media over here. The state-controlled media is pointing out to Americans, the economy is awesome. Awesome. Oh, my God. I mean, I'll wait till you hear news and commentary coming up about what California is going to be doing about gas and gas taxes. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And the one of the late reports out show that only 2% believe that the Biden inflation is not his responsibility. We are now at the highest in 6 years as it continues to rush across our nation. Speaking of Biden, his ethics disclosure with the Office of Government Ethics just overlooked reporting $5.1 million. He had this Biden's Celtic Capri Corporation. He told the Office of Ethics, we collected $8 million. Tax returns for the same period to the IRS show he collected $13 million. At least he's been honest with the IRS, maybe. But where's the other $5 million? In April, Joe Biden had claimed, I don't think you should make money while you're in office. Well, he was in office during that time. And, of course, the question here is that the emails that have been showing alleged connections between Hunter Biden and his deals with China, Russia, Burisma, everywhere else, and how much money might be going to Joe Biden. And somehow or another, this $5 million got overlooked when he reported to the Office of Ethics. Short oversight. He's missing $5 million in the average American wage in 2019, just under $52,000. And there's this email that surfaced. Katie Dodge, who was an assistant for Hunter Biden, said it was her understanding that Joe Biden would temporarily cover his business debts of up to $800,000. That's right. Hunter's assistant emailed a bookkeeping firm, and talking about all the debts and bills racked up by Hunter Biden. And Hunter's assistant said that Hunt's dad, that would be Joe, would be footing the bill for a while as his son transitioned careers. Has Joe Biden not said repeatedly, I had nothing to do with my son's businesses and finances? And yet at one point we know they were apparently commingling them. This email directed to the VP team and the body of the message was carbon copied to a personal aide working for Joe Biden at the time. Of course, he can claim I never saw it and he would be good enough to probably get by with it. Maybe he doesn't remember seeing it. But again, Hunter Biden's assistant at that time in January 2019 wrote that it was, I spoke with Hunter today regarding his bills, the very bills the bookkeeping firm was questioning about. She said, I spoke with Hunter today regarding his bills. It is my understanding that Hunt's dad will cover these bills in the short term as Hunter transitions in his career. Could that be where some of the $5 million went? And if it did go to Hunter Biden, did he report his income of showing that money coming in? And, of course, we have since seen word coming out that one of Hunter Biden's business partners had 19 visits paid to the White House while Joe Biden was vice president. 19 times. One of them including, they know, a face-to-face meeting with Joe Biden. Big tech, at that time mainstream media, now state-controlled media, all kept it just silent. Just nothing to see here, move along. And now that Musk is going to take control of Twitter, oh my God, the left, their hair is on fire. They don't want free speech. They don't want you to know the truth. We got a lot of it coming up in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. Again, we're live streaming right now at rumble.com. Rumble.com, let your friends and neighbors know. We'll catch you with news and commentary coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.